You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com.
This episode is brought to you by Outdoor Class. Outdoor Class is an online video platform geared towards making you a better hunter. Watch instructional videos taught by hunting experts like Remy Warren, Randy Newberg, and Corey Jacobson. After the hunt, learn how to prepare your harvest from world-class wild game chefs like Hank Shaw and Jamie Tagan. Whether it's your first year hunting or you grew up doing it, Outdoor Class will take your skills up a notch. Use code EMPIRE20 at checkout to save 20% off. Visit OutdoorClass.com to learn more.
The truth on the Houndsman XP Podcast Network is fueled by Joy. Joy Dog Food has been in business for many decades, since the 1940s. They've never had a recall. They only use 100% American-made products to bring you a dog food formula that is going to keep your hounds on their feet and performing at a high level. Late round bound, the next bear race, the next cat race, whatever you got going, Joy can keep your dog fueled up. I personally feed Joy for this reason. They are not afraid to get in the trenches and get in the fight. They will show up at a local meeting where people are trying to pass tethering laws or breeders bills or whatever, and put their name on that and put their reputation on the line to support us. So find Joy Dog Food on the internet. Find that dealer locator. Find a dealer near you. Go to joydogfood.com and keep those hounds fueled by Joy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Truth on the Houndsman XP Podcast Network. And today we are lucky enough to be joined by Mr. Vic Hurley, and we are down here in Quapaw. I guess you got a Quapaw address,
Quapaw,
right?
Oklahoma, yeah.
We're in Quapaw, Oklahoma. And how this came about is me and Vic, how long have we been friends, Vic? About a year?
Year and a half.
Yeah. And we started talking through Joy Dog Food, of course, and then we'd run into to each other at some hunts. And you hauled me pleasure hunting at your good spots a few times whenever I'm down here getting ready for a hunt and stuff. And we were talking about the level of competition that is just right here in this area, and we'll get into that here in a little bit too, but that's going to be kind of one of the main themes of the podcast. But first of all, Vic, let's just talk about the area, talk about your beautiful place here. You're out here and your lovely wife just made a great big meal, and I was telling you, of course, Cheyenne and Jennifer are going to know the same thing. I always come about supper time to record these podcasts.
It's the way I do it.
Yeah. And so we just finished supper, and you got a real nice spread here, Vic. And you've been around this area a long time?
Yep, all my life.
All your life.
I growed up within 15 miles here.
Yeah. Tell us about your ranch growing up around here.
We ranched around here ever since I was 20, 25 years old. Worked at the Joplin Regional Stockyards for a while and just coon hunted, had fun.
Yeah. How'd you get into it? Did your dad hunt?
Yep. My dad when I was 6, bought a red bone hound. His name was Hank, and that's how we got our start. And we hunted hard all the time.
What was Hank like? Was he pretty good?
Hank was a good dog. Hank was an outstanding dog. For the times, yeah. I mean, Cheyenne, all the guys around here knew that dog. He was a good dog.
Yeah. Did you guys ever raise any pups out of him, or did
we tried a few females on him? Didn't work good.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, back then guys weren't worried about it. Seemed like and it's still true today to some point. Good coon dog men get good coon dogs.
Yeah, they do.
And they're not always raising them, breeding them, and things like that either. But
yep,
people have a knack of getting good dogs.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They got a knack for finding those dogs.
Yeah, and so a lot of the guys back then, it's just like, well, you know, I'll get another one.
Right.
You know, I don't need one out of Hank or out of whatever. Right. You know, I can get another. Was that kind of your guys' attitude?
That was our attitude. Dad, he worked hard all the time, but he hunted. You know, when he would hunt in the winter, he wasn't much of a summer hunter, but in the wintertime, Dad would hunt hard.
Yeah.
And that's how, you know, we got our start.
That was pretty common back then, though. Not a lot of guys hunted in the summer.
Nope. that didn't happen until, you know, we started, I started competition hunting. The first one I went to was when I was 14. I got some trophies back here on the wall this in the 76 is my first one.
How big were the hunts? Was it UKC hunts?
They was UKC, but they was just open dogs. Yeah. They wasn't even registered.
Great dogs.
Didn't see no registered dogs until I was probably 20.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how big were the hunts back in the 70s?
Oh, you know, you'd show up down there and they'd be 16, 18, 20 dogs at those hunts, you know. Just common coon dogs.
What when did you guys start getting registered dogs and start worrying about pedigrees and all that stuff?
Long in there in the early 70s. Yeah. You know, them dogs started kind of showing up, but not a lot of them. But yeah, they started showing and we would, you know, some guys from the north would come back down here and you'd see some registered dogs. And then, you know, how that deal got.
Yeah.
And then everything got
why was it? And we was the same way. The Yankees was the only ones with registered dogs back then.
They was the only ones that had any. It was always from the north.
No.
The guys from the south only had, you know, grade dogs.
Yeah, because I remember we had registered dogs for the most part growing up, but a lot of folks didn't. You know, I was lucky enough to be in – go to hunts and they'd always have grade casts.
Right.
And there'd be a couple grade casts and then probably another 40 dogs, registered dogs, you know. But nobody from everybody up north had registered dogs.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
Them
now,
Yankees.
Now, after a while, we all got registered dogs because you could get a set of papers anywhere.
Yeah.
And we all started hunting registered. Yep. These dogs all went from grade to registered overnight.
It was mostly the same dogs.
Yeah, it was the same dogs.
Who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody about how they'd sell the dogs for one price and they'd sell the papers for the other.
We'd go to Beckham's to the trade days and you know, you never know.
No.
But, you know, along there in 2004, 2005, DNA came along.
Yeah.
Things got different.
A lot of folks got barred pretty quick.
They did. They did. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Super Stakes puffs weren't Super Stakes puffs.
I wouldn't want to have been the first guy that DNA'd them.
No, I wouldn't. I bet that was a hard book to unravel there.
Yeah, that was a mess. You know it was.
So we're going to talk about some of the hunters around here, including yourself too, Vic. But back then in the late 70s, early 80s, late 80s, there were probably, I mean, there's got to be some houndsmen back then that I don't know about, most of our folks don't know about, that were awesome. Because you can't have the legacy that's here now without having something back then.
You know?
So who were some of the guys you can think of from back then that may not know about?
To start with, Jap Bennett, which was – he's related to Shy.
Yeah.
And Jap hunted hard back then. He was one of them. His brother, Bud.
His name is Jap?
Jap.
J-A-P?
J-A-P.
Was that a nickname or was that his real name?
That was his name.
Okay.
And Jap hunted hard. He had a brother named Bud. Bud hunted really hard, too. They hunted with a .22 and a chopping axe. That's the way they hunted. And then the next generation would have been my dad and Shy's dad, Gary, which is – I grew up with Gary, Shy's dad. And we hunted all the time.
Yeah.
We hunted hard all the time. Gary had the license, I didn't, and he would, you know, he'd drive me around, and finally I got license, and then I'd drive him around.
Yep.
That's how that – but there was always been good hound people in this part of the country.
Yeah. And when we mentioned Shy, of course, we're talking about Cheyenne Cummings.
Right, right.
And, you know, we were talking earlier tonight over supper, too, about this area and how diversified it is as far as terrain. Because, I mean, I can – Cheyenne and Tyler are, of course, you know, father-in-law, son-in-law. Mm-hmm. They live, what, 20 miles from each other, maybe?
10.
10 miles from each other. And Shy hunts straight up and down hills. Tyler hunts flat pecan
bottoms.
Straight bottoms.
Yeah. No you know? Hills.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's talk about the terrain around here and what it's like hunting, because you can get a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Where we're at, we can hunt water. We can hunt hills. Whatever part of the country we're going to, we can pretty well get a dog ready for that.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going north to you guys' country, we've got some of that. Got a good coon population about everywhere we go here.
Yeah. And what about back in the late 70s, early 80s when those coons were worth a bunch? Was there still coons down here, a lot of them?
Yeah. We had, you know, we could make a living back then. When I was a kid, you could actually make a living.
Yeah.
Coon hunting.
Imagine with the coons we have now if they'd get back up to $35, $40 a piece.
Never will, but, you know, that would be a great thing.
That would be, Wade, I hope you're not listening to this, but you may lose an employee for about 3 months a year if coons get back up to $40 a piece.
Yeah, that's true.
We, we've always had a good coon population, too, and it has just absolutely exploded. And I've noticed I'm blessed enough to be able to get to travel and hunt so many different areas, and it's that way everywhere.
Yep.
You know, East Texas exploded. Yep. Oklahoma exploded. Yep. Illinois, of course, has always been good. I know there's some places, you know, in South Carolina and Kentucky and stuff like that where there's not a lot of coons, but it just seems like it's been a nationwide down the river. You know, they just really went haywire.
Yep.
And so when we're talking about those older hunters and we're talking about how you got started, when did you start going to the competition hunts, you know, seriously? Because we all started, you know.
I hunted competition really hard from when I was probably 14 till I was probably 25 or 26. Yeah. Then I had to go to work.
Yep.
So then it slowed down a lot then.
And
since then, I've off and on hunted some competition. I mainly pleasure hunt. I love to get dogs ready.
Yeah. What are you seeing now out of these dogs? Because I've hunted with Joe. Joe's a good dog. Joe's off by himself, opens like he should, good tree dog, accurate, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Joe's got all the tools of a winner.
Yep.
And he's what most of us are looking for, yourself included. But how is a dog like that, you know, what it takes to win today compared to the dogs you guys were hunting here in the late 70s, early 80s?
There's no comparison.
Yeah.
These dogs today are so much smarter, Josh, than the dogs was back then.
Yeah.
You know.
So what do you say about all those guys that get on the Facebook and they say we bred all the track out of them and all the brains and all this out of them? And
they're not hunting them enough.
That's right.
You know, if they'll put those dogs in the woods and hunt them correct,
those
dogs they'll roll right on through this.
Yeah. The dogs back then... You know, because what was the main difference?
Well, you know, we didn't even start a pup until he was a year old.
Yeah.
And then a lot of those pups wouldn't even start tree until they was two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, nowadays, who's going to hunt a dog for a year that ain't going to tree?
Yeah.
You know, back then we had to because we just didn't have no choice.
And they were also only getting hunted 2 or 3 months out of the year.
Right. You know, we hunt year round here.
Yeah.
You know.
How do you guys hunt out here in the summer? Because that sounds miserable.
No, it's not. We're, you know, Joe and them down way down south got, you know, they're the heat. But, you know, we get some 100-degree days, and, you know, we'll have an 85-degree, 90-degree night. Them dogs just tolerate it.
Yeah.
You know, we try to hunt. At that time, we hunt smart. We hunt on water.
Yeah.
Or where them dogs can get in water if we can.
Yeah. And it's a drier heat down here than it is at Joe's, too.
It is.
You know, especially you get into that western Kansas or eastern Kansas, western Oklahoma area.
Right.
In July, don't get me wrong, it's hot.
It's hot.
You know,
it's
but
hot.
The wind's usually blowing.
Yep.
And it's a little drier. It seems like it's a little more tolerable at night, especially.
Yep. You go hunting down here in July and August, you'll run on the shy somewhere.
Yeah. How hard does shy hunt?
As hard as any man.
Yeah. Because every time I call him, I'm like, shy hunting, yeah?
Yeah. No, he's Shy's not kidding.
Yeah.
He does hunt that hard. He, you know.
What about Tyler?
He don't hunt near as much as Shy. But,
of course, I get along with all them guys down here, too, and I know you do, too. I like giving Tyler a hard time. And I think, because, of course, we've talked about the super hunt and, you know, Tyler, and it's kind of unique. One of the other reasons I'm down here is to talk about that area and how it's unique. Oh, we got Miss Laura pausing us. Go ahead, you're fine.
That's making all kinds.
We're not even going to edit that out. What Miss Laura was doing, because she's such a sweetheart, was getting me a beer koozie. And she doesn't have the microphones on to hear that all that noise that she just made on here, but still. That's a small price to pay for a cold beer.
That's right. That ain't bad. Gives us a break.
That's right. Well, anyway, we were talking about Shy and Tyler and all them guys hunting and stuff, and let's get into that because I'm thinking in my head of the guys that everyone's going to know that are right here. Because where's the closest club? Seneca?
Seneca
is most of them. Yep. And then you go down into Grove.
Yep.
And Grove's got a club. Is that right?
And then, you know, on down toward Lanes. Lane's got a club.
So you
and
look,
then north of us, you know, Riverton's 6-7 miles from me here, and they got a club.
Yeah, and then there's Adam Kite's club over there, Pittsburgh or whatever.
And Blaze Bauer.
Yeah.
Yep.
So let's just think of that from – and if anybody wants to Google this and get their map out, you're looking at, let's call it Jay, Oklahoma.
Yep.
Up to just north of Pittsburgh.
Girard, Kansas.
And then back over towards where Ty's at. Probably
Goodman, Missouri.
Yeah, probably over at Goodman. And then back down to Quapaw, Seneca area.
Yeah, maybe even Welch area.
And so what is that, 40-mile radius from where we're sitting?
Yep.
And in that area, and I'm going to forget some. I'm going to try to name some off the top of my head. You've got world champion Tyler Compton and world champion Cheyenne Cummins that we talked about earlier.
Right.
World champion Lane Denny.
Yes.
And then you have Ronnie. How far is Ronnie from here?
Ronnie Smith. He's well in that circle.
Yeah.
He's 12 miles.
Yeah. So then you got world champion Ronnie Smith.
Yep.
And then that's just the world champions. Mm-hmm. Am I missing any world champions?
I don't think so.
Okay. So that's four that are still active.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another thing. They come to these local hunts. Okay. Yep. And then you have Blaze Bauer, who we talked about.
Yep.
Adam Kite, who's packing a pretty good dog up until she passed away here in Dixie.
Right.
Ty Anderson.
Yep.
He's always got a good dog.
Got a good dog.
Yourself. Justin Parker.
Yep.
Carl Reed.
Yep.
Who else am I mentioning?
Braxton Wheels. James Jones.
Yep.
Connor DeRee.
Brandon. Gosh dang it.
Gaines.
Yes, Brandon Gaines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there. And then, I mean, it's full.
Yeah.
You know, you got Emilio just on west of us a little
Emilio
bit.
Yeah, Emilio Galvez, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get the bigger hunts, and of course, Oklahoma stacked, Arkansas stacked,
mm-hmm.
South Missouri stacked. All this stuff's just stacked with elite coon dogs and coon hunters.
Yep.
And so let's say we're having a $50 double header at Seneca, Missouri. Friday night, what's your chances of drawing an easy cast?
You're not going to. You're going to draw Tyler, and you're going to draw Shy. You're going to draw some world champion dogs, and probably next year's world champion.
Yeah, and you look at these guys are still going to them hunts.
They are,
and that's the one thing that makes this place unique is you get up around my house and it's me and my brother and Jed Finley. And some other really good houndsmen and stuff, but, you know, Zach McBee, you know, Eldon Cork and all them guys up there, you know, they're all in that kind of general area and some tough competition. But I go to a $30 hunt on Tuesday, those guys ain't there.
No.
I'm not there. And that's not saying I'm top-tier competition or anything, but most of these bigger guys that are running these pro classics, and they're not going to $50 open hunts, but they do here.
When Ronnie and Shy came back from the World Hunt, they got home on a Thursday or Friday. Mm-hmm. They got home, and Saturday night, Jen had a UKC hunt doubleheader at Seneca.
Mm-hmm.
And Shy was hunting Stogie.
Yeah.
You know.
Just off a world championship.
Just come home to a UKC hunt. But that's Shy. He'll do that.
What do you think makes this area – I mean, it's really hard to quantify because it takes so much to make it like this. It takes a very good background for, like, the hunters that we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a good culture. And it takes clubs being ran the right way.
It does.
And it takes honest competition because these guys are coming here trying to beat a world champion or something, you know. And they're not doing it with a chip on their shoulder and trying to screw Shy out of a cast win. And Shy's not cheating around trying to get another $100 on Stogie like he needs it or anything like that, you know.
He's not.
So what are you seeing out of these clubs that makes it so different from everywhere else?
It's just the camaraderie amongst men. People around here like one another, get along. You know, I may hunt tonight with Shy and hunt tomorrow night, you know, with Justin Parker or Connor DeRee. You know, Braxton, about every time I go, you know, Braxton will go. We just we just take off hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here lately, we've been hunting a lot with Jason O'Brien.
Yeah, Jason O'Brien, I hear. Yep. We talked earlier. He's getting ready to get back into it. That's another guy that was from around this area that always had good dogs. If you know him and his boys both.
If he decides to get back in it and hunt a while, he'll own a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won't pack a...
And what's it take to... I mean, you can't just... How hard is it to just get $100 one on a dang Superstakes pup around here?
You're going to have to go beat some really good dogs to do it.
Do you think that's why some of these guys, you think the competition around here is what makes some of them successful at a national level?
That's right. Because you win one here, you could go anywhere. You know, that's just the way it is.
Even the UKC hunts, which, and I get grief for this all the time of bagging on the UKC hunts and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, I love everybody at UKC and all the hunters and all that stuff. But normally, in most parts of the world, the UKC is not as stiff a competition as especially a major PKC event. You know, they're not, the dogs just aren't as good, to be frank. And that's not, now folks, before you start sending me mean emails, I know that's not everywhere, but that is a general consensus.
It is not here. Yeah. I mean, right here, you can go to a UKC hunt, you're going to draw Stogie, you know.
Yeah.
Jenna, you could draw, you know, Lane used to hunt it when Emmy was back in her prime.
Yeah.
You'd see Lane right there, right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Did it pick up even more whenever they started the Tournament of Champions and it took them five cast wins?
Yep. Yep.
Because I know you hunted with my brother. He drove all the way down here.
Jeremy came down here, you know, two times and hunted different casts down here just trying to get that. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you beat him once?
Did beat him
once. Tell me about that cast. Don't tell me about the cast he won. Tell me about the one you won.
Well, we went to Welch and we did have it was a shootout over there. Josie got north 800 or 900 yards. Joe gets south 700 or 800 yards, you know. And by the time we'd walked to one dog, another one would be, you know, the other one was treed.
Yeah.
Back and forth. We just went back and forth. And finally, Joe catches a coon on the ground, but he gets up a bush. And we get him plussed. We walk to Jeremy's, and he's got a den at the end. Yeah. And if he'd had a coon, it was tough.
Yeah.
But Jeremy beats on this tree and beats on, you know, he's trying to get this coon out, and it just didn't work out for him. But it was that tight.
Yeah.
It was tight.
Those are the fun casts to be on.
You bet. Yeah. Jeremy comes to win. You know, he's going to try to win.
Yeah,
he's
going to try. You ought to see it when I draw him.
I'll guarantee
you. You think it's bad when he draws
blood.
You?
Yeah, that's blood.
We, and you know, believe it or not, I don't draw Jeremy very much.
Yeah.
And I drew him. We both got in at Sean Wood's $2,500 Pro Classic last year. I think it was last year. He was hunting Venus, and I was hunting Rain. Yep. And normally I'll split.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy don't split very often.
No.
So I knew. But I knew. They called me. I'd got back the deal. And they said, hey, your brother won too. And I said, oh, we're going back out.
We're hunting.
I wanted to beat him so bad that I had a circle tree at the end that I'm guessing was slick. And Venus had a coon, and she beat me. He finished first. I finished second. But, you know, it's when you get down here, and let's talk about some of the lesser known guys too. The ones I'm familiar with, you look at Ty Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Ty, when I first met Ty, his survivor dog was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I think 7 or 8 months old. Of course, mm-hmm. he was out of trader.
Yep.
And he came up to bring that dog and show it, because the dog had started treeing coons real early.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd bring him up to show him to us. And he didn't look great that night, but he was a 7 month old pup. And then he brought him up a couple months later, and he looked even better. And he just kept getting better and better.
He's a nice dog.
Yeah, and he was a nice dog. And Ty just kept telling me, oh, it's hard to win down there where I'm at. It's hard to win in my country. And I thought, yeah, whatever. I said, coon dog's coon dog.
Yeah.
And then I get down here, and I start hunting with some of you guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, he's right. It's hard to win down here.
It is hard to win down here.
Because there's no gimmies.
No. There won't be an easy cast.
No. No, and Ty's still hunting. He's got two dogs out of Survivor, or one out of Shaq and one out of Survivor, I think.
Yeah, I drawed him 3-4 months ago.
Yeah.
Me and him are Ronnie Smith.
He's got Dice, and he's got another one. I can't remember his other ones.
I can't think of it either.
Yeah. The one of them is out of Shaq and that English female.
Mm-hmm.
That's Dice.
Yeah, that's Dice.
And then the other one is out of Survivor.
Right.
And I think it might be out of a Shaq female, but I could be wrong.
No, I think it is. I think. I'm not 100%, but I think it is.
And so then you look at Justin Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Parker's another good dog man.
Yep.
He's got some fantastic ground. He's got a litter mate brother to Dice.
No, that's out of a different female.
Is it out of a different female?
Okay. He's a crossbred, but he's out of the red tick female.
I got you. So he's got a nice dog.
Yep.
And so he's there He's going to beat some of these local hunts, and he can beat you.
Yep.
Who else am I missing?
You know, on the low end, it'd be me.
Well, we're going to talk about you and Joe here after a bit. So.
No, you know, there's a lot of young guys around here right now that I see around. You know, we was out at the Oklahoma State hunt. I see the same guys out there, you know. We don't want to forget about Bob Noble. Bob's always got good dogs.
Yeah, Bob's always got good dogs.
Yep.
How far does Bob live from here?
He'd be at the end of that 40-mile range, but. Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think of all else.
Yeah, me too.
Mind draws a blank whenever you turn the microphone on.
Sure
don't
it does.
Vic.
It does.
So what do you got? You got Joe in your kennel right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what else you got?
That's it.
And just Joe.
Just
and Joe's a three-year-old?
Yep, just turned three.
And he is out of shack and?
And a bone collector
and
female.
And bone collector female.
Right.
Now, tell us about Joe when you first got to hunt with him and when you got to lay eyes on him and get your hands on him.
I liked him a lot. He moved around good. When he got struck, he's going to get treed.
Yeah.
And he's going to have a coon. That was the thing, you know, and he was young and pretty green.
Yeah.
But we've got him now where, I mean, he can compete.
Yeah.
He's ready this year.
How long did you hunt him? Because how old was he when you bought him off Shy?
Right at two.
So you've had him over a year.
Yes, a little over a year.
How long was it before he went from being a little green to ready to roll?
He went right – when we started hunting him hard, he went right on.
Did he?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, Joe went right on. He still is, you know. Other than the recut on him right now, you know, he's pretty flawless.
Yeah.
He's.
What's the deal with the recut?
Some trees, you know, Joe loves to have a coon and – and if a coon's low in a tree or something, you know, he might hang around just a second or two there more than he ought to just break and get on out.
Yeah, I say, because the times I've seen him, he recut just fine.
Yeah, he does. Most of the time he does. If a coon's high in a tree and, you know, and stuff, he's going to. If you got one in a bush, you know, he's gonna hang around a little bit. But Joe likes to tree coons off of coons, too.
Yeah.
You know, he does do that.
So he ain't the type that's just going to – hit an edge and go 800 yards before he's hunting again off the recut.
No, me and Jason O'Brien was hunting over the weekend, you know, and we cut him off of a recut. The first tree he made, we cut him off a recut, and he goes to the river, you know, he's right at a mile in there off the recut.
Yeah.
Next time we recut him, you know, he goes 65 yards and gets treed.
Well, see, the night I hunted with him, he went deep off the recut, treed that coon, and then got in there quite a ways.
Yep. But if he thinks there's a coon, if them coon are on one of them ridges or something, Joe will go down it.
Yeah.
He's going to try to find them coons.
Yeah. Well, that's good to have in these pecan bottoms.
It is.
A dog that's going to tree a coon close.
Yep. Now, the more dogs are barking, the more he'll get on through there.
Do you think that's a fault or you think that's a good trait?
Both.
Yeah.
I really do.
There's times I like it and there's times I
too.
Don't, too.
Me too. Yeah.
Because we talk about independence, and then we talk about being a dead loner. And I would classify Joe as not being independent, but a dead loner.
He's not going to be with nothing.
Yeah, because an independent dog
will
tree behind a dog sometimes. It'll just run that track, and if it gets beat, it'll still tree with it.
Right.
It'll go – if it wants to go that way and there's a dog barking that way already, it's still going to go that way.
Right.
You know, to me, an independent dog would do that. But a dead loner?
Joe, if they strike out of the truck – run a coon 200 yards down there and tree it, this is a fault to me.
Yeah.
Joe's probably not going to be there.
Yeah.
He might tree that coon. He might be the first one to locate on that tree, but when them dogs pile in on him, you know, you're going to hear him on through there 800 yards. He just don't like to be with other dogs.
Yeah. We're going
to
get –
and I think that's a fault to some degree.
Yeah, I agree. And I think – and we'll talk about this a little later too, but I think that we're kind of getting back towards some dogs – when you're looking at winning at a national level, them dogs, especially in a something like pro sport, they got to get some of that first coon.
They do.
Or they got to be treed real quick behind that.
That's right.
They can't be lollygagging around in there and let everything cover and back around and or tree in front of them or whatever and hang out and then try to go get away from them. That's too much time spent.
It's too much.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, I agree with that 100%. He's pretty good about finding a coon quick, but where Joe looks the best is in thin coon.
Yeah.
If them dogs, you know, you tree one out of the truck and then they got to go somewhere, you know, he's going to be there.
Yeah. See, a lot of dogs, and that's a fault too, you know, when they recut, there's, because we all want to turn loose on a hot coon.
Yeah, we do.
Every guide I go to turns loose in their coon in a spot.
Yep.
And you usually tree one pretty good. I don't care if you're in Texas,
yep,
Minnesota, wherever. You're going to tree one out of the truck pretty quick, most casts.
Most casts.
And then after that, we figure out who's got the best dog.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is here too. I mean, we're when you go to a UKC hunter or a PKC hunt around here, it's same.
Yeah.
I mean, you're, them dogs are going, after that first deal, them dogs are going to scatter and then it's on.
Yeah. Let's back up a little bit, because we talked about what you had with Joe, and when we talked about your first dog, what was Hank?
Mm-hmm.
I talked about, what did you have in the middle? I know you've had some dogs in the middle.
Probably 1,000, you know.
Which ones really come to mind? Which ones really stick with you?
I hunted English dogs for a long time. Me and Shy would hunt back then a lot, and his dad. I had a dog called Flip that was an English dog that was a super nice dog.
Yeah.
For the time, he was really good. But just went from mainly English dogs for years, and then got back, you know, I wanted, like everybody else, I had to try a walker.
Yeah.
Then I liked their traits better than they would move around better than the English dogs that I had. Yeah.
Was that the main difference that you seen?
The main difference I seen was they could move, you know. And then we went through a lot of dogs, it was just tree dogs.
Yeah.
And that wasn't my cup of tea.
That was a phase in the late 90s.
Yeah. I'm old fashioned.
Mid to late 90s.
Yeah. I'm old fashioned. I think a dog needs to strike a coon, run it, tree it, and have it.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Remember, well, as a matter of fact, it was just when I was down here hunting with Cheyenne and Tyler, and I just got Hazel off them pups.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong, Hazel's always been a dog that would gamble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she would make an extra tree, mm-hmm, and sometimes it would be a bad tree, but I would never once call her inaccurate.
Right.
I'd never once call her a wood monster.
Right.
She's a dog that will, if she's having a bad track or if she's trying to lay a coon up, she's going to take a chance
and
get wood.
She's going to try to get him.
Which there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion.
No, I like that.
But she went full-blown tree monster down there with Shy and Ty. I've never seen anything like it. And it took me, she's out of it now.
Yep.
But it took me about a week of pretty hard hunting with her, you know, to get her out of it. But we turned her loose in that pecan bottom, and Stogie had already treed 4 coons, and Tyler's females, Jenna had already treed 4 coons. They were split up, flying through the country, treeing the coons, doing things that world champions do.
Yeah.
And I had Con and Hazel in the box. And so we got all the video footage of them, and, you know, I got all that stuff done, and we get back to the truck, and Shai goes, well, go ahead and cut your 2 loose in there. And I had Con and her. And Con's burn up and aggravating, but I had him in the box. And Hazel, I was just got her off them pups. I'm getting her ready, you know, to start taking to some hunts again for Jay's.
Yep.
And we turn loose, and she goes in there about 800 yards, gets struck, gets treed, does a bang-up job, has a coon. Con covers her, and I knew when he covered her she had a coon, because he's pretty good about being alone too. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird that he covered, but she done a good job there. She had a coon, and I turned her loose off that. And Con, I think he treed 2 or 3 coons in a slick after that, and she treed every single tree in that pecan bottom. I mean, just went. And I told Shy, I said, it's like I'm hunting a TrackMan Rat Attack cross in the late 90s right now.
Yep.
I said, I've never seen anything like this for a long time.
Now, Kurt's going to kill us.
Oh, yeah, I know. And don't get me wrong, TrackMan dogs, Kurt. Now, luckily, Kurt don't have no technology, and he don't know how to send an email.
Yep.
But he'll call me. Yeah, someone will call him and say I was bad-mouthing TrackMan dogs, and he'll call me. But, no, TrackMan dogs have their place, and I've run into a bunch of good ones, too.
Yep, me too.
But they were dogs that were easy to start treeing, just like the rat dogs were, just like the bone collector dogs were.
Yep.
And people encouraged them and encouraged
them. You ever pet on them?
Oh,
yes. In trouble.
And most of their problems were man-made, because these guys didn't know to handle dogs. Because just like you said, we went from dogs that were 2 years old and wouldn't get treed to all of a sudden these dogs were
tree monsters.
Yeah. What'd you do with one of those 2-year-olds when it first started treeing?
Oh, you just started petting.
Oh,
you was happy. You thought, oh my gosh, you know, never going to be another poor day.
after a year, we finally done it. You know,
we've done it.
And a lot of people took that same attitude into dogs that wanted to get treed.
Right.
And then that's what we ended up with.
You know, I would say Hazel would, if you breed her again, I'd say she'll go back. Some of that is just the way those females do. It messes with their hormones.
Yep.
It does.
And I'm thinking after her next heat cycle, going in, coming out, maybe without getting bred, it'll make it better, because she's still not quite right.
It will be.
Yeah.
It will. It'll come back. She'll be back.
What were you seeing? We were talking about English dogs and the Walker dogs that you switched to. What strain were they?
House's Tom Tom, when I was a kid, you know, that's how far back I go. He was one of the first stud dogs.
Yeah.
You seen pups out of him down here. Finley River Chief.
Yeah.
You know.
What about the Finley River dogs? Did you guys hunt quite a bit of them?
Yeah, but I never did have one that I liked on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I loved them on the tree.
No,
but you know, they just didn't fit this country.
They bang around too.
That's
much.
What I thought. Yeah. That's
I exactly. thought they did too, but they were a dog, and they weren't tree monsters by any means. But they would start treeing fairly early compared to some of the other strains.
Right.
You know,
right. They would.
Of course, we're right up there by John J. Monroe, mm-hmm. and we had Finley River dogs, you know, all over in our country.
Yeah, you guys had more of them than we did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we probably got all you guys rejects.
Well, we'll take some of your rejects now. I can promise you that.
I'll tell you, though, Josh, this country down here, what makes this thing really, really good is there's a lot of hard hunters.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that you never see at a hunt, but they're houndsmen.
Yeah,
there's some dog guys here.
And those guys that go to a hunt, a lot of times end up with a dog from those dog guys.
Yep. And then a lot of them's like me; they're getting old anymore, and they hold the cast up, so they got to get some young guy. You know, Connor's helped me a lot in the last year. Braxton's really helped me a lot, just taking care of me. You know?
Yeah,
I drive, and they hunt my dog for me to hunt. You know.
Well, I'll tell you what, my boy's 12. And it won't be very long, and he's going to be driving me to the hunt and hunting the dog.
That's right. That's right. That's kind of where I'm at.
I can't wait till that day.
That's right. Yeah.
So what do you got in future for Joe?
I'm going to try more. I'm going to start hunting him in PKC this year.
Yeah.
Got him ready, I think. I granded him out last year. Going to put him in Tournament of Champions. I'm going to go run that deal this year.
How'd your Tournament of Champions go last year?
It wasn't good.
Really?
Mm-mm. I had a judge that couldn't hear my dog.
Yeah.
For 40 minutes. But anyway, that's the way it is.
That happens.
He did hear the English dog.
Yeah.
But I think he was an English guy.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, you should have kept your English dog.
Yeah, I should have kept my English dog. That's what I should have done. But no, he I think he's ready this year. I'll probably go to all the hunts Laura let me go to.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she don't strike me as the one that's really going to put her foot down too much. She's probably happy to get rid of you.
She actually makes me go hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
well, it's good. I mean, it's good. Right. It's good exercise.
No,
it's good for you.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's the best fun you can have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about pups you were going to breed, Joe?
Yeah, I bred him.
Did you breed him?
I did. I sold the female to Jason O'Brien. Jason's going to breed her to his old stud dog, Monkey.
Yeah.
And then when he gets done with that, I'm going to try to breed her again. The guys that's got those pups, they're wanting more.
Yeah. How old are they?
5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you keep any of them?
Yeah, I kept one pup, and then I ended up selling him the other day to some friends of mine in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's how I usually do it, too.
Well, you know, everybody wanted one, and I thought, you know, I'm gonna breed some females to him.
Are you going to take... And that's the thing about around. You guys got a lot of hunts around here, too.
Yeah,
and you
do.
Can't help that with as many hunters as you
have.
I assume Zones is going to be coming back here again this year.
I would say Zones will be back here.
I think it is, as far as what I've heard. And I don't think that's finalized by any means, you know, and anything could change. But I'm pretty sure Zones are going to be back here again for the World Hunt.
Right.
For PKC. UKC Zones, I don't know where they're going to be.
Kirksville. Well, no, that's Tournament Champions.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, Paul Meyer was good last year.
Yeah.
It was good up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a lot of entries up there, I think.
Yeah, they did.
What did your World Hunt go? How did it go last year?
It didn't go. I got beat. Brandon Gaines beat me.
Oh, did it?
At Zones.
Did
he? Yep.
Yeah.
Brandon's dog looked really good, too.
Yeah, he hunts English dogs, too, don't he?
He does.
What's that dog like?
Rowdy's a nice dog.
Yeah, I've heard he's
a tree lot of coons.
Diesel's
a nice dog.
He got what in the top six Rowdy did this year?
Six or eight or something.
Yeah.
I forget where it was, but he's in there close.
Yeah, he was up there pretty high in the UKC World Hunt.
Brandon's another one. I mean, you go out any night and Brandon's hunting.
Yeah.
Brandon hunts.
Yep. And since I've been down here selling dog food, and I knew about you, and I knew about, of course, Shy and Tyler. Me and Elaine have been friends for quite a while.
Right.
And me and Tyler have been friends, you know, and I knew you guys quite a bit, but I didn't know the sheer number of everybody else until probably about a year ago when I started coming down here and selling dog food. And these are guys that you hear, because the coon hunting world is a big one, but it's also a pretty tight-knit community. And so there's guys that I know that when I hear about a dog, you know, say I hear it from Vic Hurley. Vic Hurley calls me and says, hey, there's a dog out here out of Hazel and Shock that you need to come look at.
Right.
This dog is this and this dog does that. I know you know what you're talking about. I trust
Vic. You need to come look.
I trust Vic's word. Yeah. And so these guys are calling me about dog food. And these are all good dog men that I know, that I have in my mental Rolodex, that if a good dog comes up for sale and this guy calls me and says it's good, you know, because we all have that, especially as a guy that's scouting, you know, dogs to train and sell or something like that, you know. And it just astounded me, the people that they would call and say, well, I need a dog food dealer here in so-and-so. I'm like, well, you got the same dog food dealer as this guy down the road that's got good dogs, or this guy down the road that's got really good dogs. So not only do we sell a lot of Joy dog food in this area, but it's tough to win a coon.
Right. No, it is. It is. No, the Joy dog food's been great for us.
Yeah.
I run Joe on it last year, and right through the heat of the summer, I got along the very best.
Yeah.
I really did.
And this is a great customer base down here. You guys have always been really good to me and really good to the company, and we sure appreciate
that
as well.
The company's been good to us as well.
And we're going to obviously continue that too, but it's just such – and then, plus, it gives me an excuse to come down here and hunt with you guys.
Yeah. Well, we love having
I say, well, I'm coming down to work, you know, with air quotes.
Bring your dog.
And then I always got my dog with me. So, you know, that's what we did last time I was down here working.
We had a good hunt that
day. Yeah. We did. Yeah. We treat five or six coons.
Five or six coons,
Everything looked pretty good. Treat its own coons.
Stayed by themselves.
Yep. And who was the fourth guy we had there?
Connor Dury.
Yeah, that's right. That was Connor, wasn't it? Yeah, he was hunting that little female. Yep. He still got her?
Yeah, he does. She's doing good.
Good. Yeah. Good. I know she had just a little jealous tree out of the truck, and then she kind of got her mind right.
Yep.
And then
Connor,
she went to...
He calls her Mouse. Yeah, she's looking really good.
Yeah, good. Yep. Good. So, no, I think what people need to do, because one of the things I wanted to talk about, too, is we all want to, all these guys see... Me, I'm going down to Buffalo. I'm on my way down to Buffalo, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm judging down there at that $6,500 entry hunt. And then I just come back from the Lone Star Pro Classic, where I got to hunt a $2,500 entry hunt. And I got to hunt against some really good dogs. And people see that aren't used to that world. And they say, well, you know, my dog can do this and my dog can do that. But I can't afford a $2,500 entry, $6,500 entry. And that's understandable.
Right.
There's lots of good dog men out there with good dogs that can't afford that entry.
That's true.
And so if you want that experience, and if you want to hunt in that level of competition, look at Seneca's Club or look at Jay Oklahoma.
That's right.
Wait till they got a doubleheader.
And go.
Yeah. If you're within 5 or 6 hours of there and you drive up and get a motel for one night, you're out $500-$600, entry fees and everything.
Yep.
And you can really hunt against that level.
You can find out what you got.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, so, yeah. I mean, just come do it.
This is the one place
on the planet where you're liable to draw three world champions in the same cast.
And you won't find any better people than what you'll draw right here.
Yep.
They'll treat you like you want to be treated.
Yes. And I think what we need to do is give credit to the real brains behind all this, and that's y'all's wives.
I'll tell you what, I was going to say that a minute ago.
Yeah.
There ain't nobody that does any more for this than Jennifer Cummings.
Yep.
Jennifer's the backbone. There ain't one of us that don't call her.
Yeah.
The poor lady never has no time.
If it wasn't for Jennifer, I don't think Shy would ever come out of the hills with a dog to get drove to a hunt.
No.
Because I don't think I've ever seen him drive.
He can't drive. He can't.
Can you speak from first-hand experience? Have you rode with him, Ben?
No, I ain't riding with him. I'm not riding with him. I ride with Jen, but I ain't riding with Shy.
No. He strikes me as a person I probably wouldn't want to get in
a vehicle. He can drive. When me and him hunt, throughout the week, Shy will drive himself over here.
Yeah.
But now, if he's going very far, I promise you, she's the wheel.
That's good. That's probably all that's kept him alive all these years.
I promise you. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, Shy can't see.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we go to our gates, tell you a funny one on Shy. We go to a gate up here. I said, Shy, this combination to this gate, and I give him the combo, and he gets out. I mean, he's fumbling with this. Guy's light on bright, and he's fumbling. I mean, like 3 minutes go by. I get out of the truck. I go over there, and he said, I can't make it work. I said, it's upside down. The lock's upside down. And he can't see real good.
Yeah.
But now I'll tell you what he can do. The littlest piece of hair on a coon in a tree, he can find that coon.
I think he's just using all that as an excuse so he don't have to open gates or drive.
That could be. Very well.
Shy's sharper than we give you credit for.
Yes, he is. That's true. That's true.
Because I know just pleasure hunting with him.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be 100 yards from that tree. There he is.
Yep, there he is.
Yep. And the big pecans. You know how they're finding them coons and them great big pecans, you know, especially down here where the coons are a little smaller.
Yep.
In Texas and then pecan groves down there, I can't find a coon.
Yeah.
I got to get a thermal out. There's the size of a squirrel.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you can ask Wyatt Monin. He'll tell you all about the fact that I can't see a coon when I'm judging.
That's right.
But, I think we need to just encourage folks to come down. And I'm going to do more of it this year because I'm going to try to plan trips where you guys got a double header, you know, so I can hunt an open event and still. And that's the one thing that keeps me a lot of times from hunting a $30 event or a $50 event or even a $100 open event is because you run into some guys and we've all had bad casts.
We have.
You know, they're out there.
You're going to find them.
You get into this sport, you're going to have a bad cast. Now, they are a lot more rare than people think they are.
They are.
They're very rare. But the bad casts I do have are usually at a small event with someone that either doesn't know their dog or know the rules. And that's usually a majority of the bad casts that you're going to be on anywhere. But you guys don't have that down here.
I don't see that here. Like, I hear about it in other clubs. But here, you're going to draw some dogs that are going to scatter out.
Yeah.
You're still going to have to beat that same level of dog. So it's not like that here.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way.
No, so I'm going to make it a point, I think, this year, you know, to get open money. I got them pups coming.
Yep.
They're 5 months old.
Be a great place to bring them and start them.
I think this fall, you know, when I'm trying to get some money on them for something, this would be the place to do it.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah. Yep. Because, I mean, I can literally draw a bunch of my buddies.
Yep.
And don't get me wrong, Shy wants to beat me. Tyler wants to beat me. Vic or Lane.
We're not going
to
give it to you.
Yeah, Vic or Lane. Lane wants to beat me.
Lane's competitive.
Yep. And it wouldn't matter, you know, who you draw down there, they're going to try to beat you, but they're usually going to do it in the right way.
That's true.
You know,
that's
so true. Anybody who wants to hunt top level competition at an affordable price, this is the place to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Yep. It really is.
But
it's really good here. I mean, I don't think you can go anywhere in the country and find better people. No. I really don't. They're going to treat you like you want to be treated. Yep.
Well, I know just like tonight, you know, I went down to record the podcast with Shy and we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Jennifer made us a nice meal just like your wife did and all that stuff. And the hospitality is always great. Anytime I'm down here, I call you guys if I need advice on a dog or where to sell dog food or, you know, where to go hunting or if I need a place to go hunting, you guys always take me.
Yep.
And that is just out of sheer hospitality.
Yep.
That ain't because I'm such a likable guy.
No, we like to do it. I mean, we do. And you are a likable guy. But no, it's a good place.
Yeah.
It's a good country. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
Yeah. So you don't have any plans of retiring down in Arizona with my brother?
I got plans to retire, but not in Arizona. It's going to be right here.
Right here in Quapaw, Oklahoma.
That's right. That's right.
All right, Vic. I don't have anything else. I really appreciate you sitting down with me.
But no, if you got it's anything, been fun.
Yeah, if
it's
you got anything else to add.
I don't. Just keep them dogs in the woods and keep them hunting.
All right. I appreciate it, Vic. And thanks for joining us again. Thank you all for listening. This is The Truth on the Houndsman XP Podcast Network. P.S.
P.S.
Vic forgot something, and the brains of the operation mentioned it to us right as we shut this off. So tell us about Tucker.
I had bought a dog named Tucker, really bad about tree and possums. Anyway, I got this dog through it. I really loved him. He was my kind of hound. And they had red bone days at Miami over to powwow grounds. And I went and guided. And we got done guiding. I thought, well, tomorrow night we can hunt our dogs tomorrow night. It was all red bone that night. And tomorrow night. So I dropped him right down the road a quarter of a mile from my house. I've treed coons there for years. I drop him in there. He goes north. It's 2:30 in the morning. There's no traffic. Tucker crosses the road, gets killed. Car hits him. I was sick. I actually wanted to quit. But Shy kept on me and trying to find me a dog that helped me find one. And finally come up with Joe. But that Tucker was a really nice dog.
Yeah, what he was made, Tucker out of?
He was out of Shaq. He was Shaq, a litter mate to Tack.
Yeah,
that Shy had, and he was an odd colored one, but
yeah,
you know, Shy keeps the white ones, but
yeah,
he had a lot of red on his legs and stuff. But I liked him. He was had a lot of ability to know where to find a coon.
Yeah, and that's a big deal.
That's a very big deal.
Especially when you're turning loose in strange country, the dogs that are
right
have a knack for finding coons can win anyway.
That's true. Yeah. That is true. Yep.
All right. Well, yep. We got the story of Tucker.
Yeah,
now.
We did.
All right,
yeah,
we'll plug that in.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, thanks for joining me, Vic.
Thank you, Josh.